It is April 15th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Carolyn Pham has been sworn in as a commissioner of the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, which means all the new commissioners have been sworn in, and we can now officially wish Dawn Stump well in her next endeavors. Here is a picture of Pham posted to LinkedIn of her being sworn in. You can see the picture in today's newsletter. Flor Sott, the Chief Revenue Officer and GM Americas of Nugata and formerly Managing Director and Global Head of Marketing at Market, is a lifelong swimmer who last August swam the 29 miles around the island of Manhattan. She wants to share the gift of swimming with others because she notes that 79% of children in households with incomes less than $50,000 have little to no swimming ability. U.S. Swimming Foundation is the source of that information. 69% of black children, 58% of Hispanic children, and 42% of white children do not know how to swim. U.S. Swimming Foundation again. Black children drown at an almost triple the overall national rate. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is the source of that. And formal swimming lessons can reduce the likelihood of childhood drowning by as much as 88%. U.S. Swimming Foundation again. So she is running a fundraiser for Summer Bluefish, which is a plus pool program that provides free swim lessons to underserved youth ages 8 to 13 who would otherwise not have the opportunity to learn how to swim. You can donate to Fleur's campaign with a link in today's newsletter. Two Sigma Chief Technology Officer Jeff Wecker shared on LinkedIn that he is joining the Dean's Advisory Board at Carnegie Mellon University School of Computer Science. Congratulations, Jeff. Citadel's Ken Griffin is in the news a bunch here today. Griffin was interviewed by David Rubenstein on Bloomberg TV. Here is the interview posted to YouTube. In the interview, Griffin discusses his outlook on global markets, factors that have contributed to the firm's success, and his perspectives on philanthropy and civic engagement. Griffin and the Ricketts family have ended their bid to buy the Chelsea Football Club, being sold by sanctioned Russian owner Roman Abramovich, Crain's Chicago Business reported. And finally, in the lead section of JLN, Griffin has been identified as a top donor to the Republican Party. Cboe's Brian Harkins was profiled in Traders Magazine about his passion for philanthropy, particularly supporting the charity Wall Street Rides, which supports the Autism Science Foundation, ASF. The story is titled, Brian Harkins, Finding Passion in Philanthropy. Debbie Carlson has a story for Barron's titled, Why Savers Aren't Getting Higher Rates with Today's Red-Hot Inflation. ICE and its management, including Jeffrey Sprecher and former ICE executive Kelly Loeffler, rang the closing bell at NYSE yesterday in celebration of the accomplishments of its board and management team. Three Points Communications is looking to fill a Chicago Tech account manager slash director position. You can click on a link in today's newsletter for the details. Back on April 9th, the Financial Times published an in-depth look at the recovery of the airline industry titled How the World's Airlines Took Off Again by Nico Comenda and Philip Georgiadis. It is a well-researched piece and has nice graphics to help tell the story. Have a great Easter weekend for those of you who are Christian believers or doubters or seekers of something greater than yourself. This is from Sarah Rudolph. Following Cboe's press release, Cboe to add Tuesday and Thursday expiration for SPX weekly options, Cboe is holding a webinar on April 20th called Trading SPXY Options with expirations 5 days a week. The webinar features Scott Bauer, Prosper Trading Academy, Joe DiCipio, Aaron Risk Advisors, and Anthony Montesano, SIBO. You can click on a link in today's newsletter to register. You must be a financial professional or sophisticated market participant, though, to attend. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We published yesterday the FIA Boca 2022 Catherine Clay video. The title is Catherine Clay on How SIBO Global Markets is a Different Company Now at Boca 2022. SIBO Global Markets is a very different company today than it was the last time people gathered together at FIA Boca, said Catherine Clay, the company's executive vice president, global head of data and access solutions. SIBO has made a number of strategic fintech acquisitions in recent years, acquiring Hanweck Associates, a real-time risk analytics company, FT Options, a portfolio management platform, and Trade Alert, a distributor of market intelligence, in 2020, and acquiring the Canadian fintech company Neo and the digital asset spot market ErisX in 2021. You can watch this interview on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the New York Times. CIA director Ayers concerned that Putin might turn to nuclear weapons. William J. Burns, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, cautioned that he had seen no practical evidence that would suggest such a move was imminent. The director of the CIA said on Thursday that potential desperation to extract the semblance of a victory in Ukraine could tempt President Vladimir V. Putin of Russia to order the use of a tactical or low-yield nuclear weapon, publicly discussing for the first time a concern that has coursed through the White House during 7 weeks of conflict. My comment. If this story does not say Good Friday, then nothing does. This is a dark statement from the CIA director. Here is a story from the Wall Street Journal. Your office is open and the liquor is flowing. Almost any time is a good time for alcohol in Jude Maybone's office these days. The 26-year-old marketing professional in Washington, D.C. says her workday usually ends at 6 p.m., but on a recent Tuesday, most of the staff called it quits and broke out the drinks at 4:30 p.m. Then there was a Thursday when her bosses, some two or three times her age, started scooping liquor-infused ice cream with the same alcohol content as a Budweiser at 2:30 p.m. Miss Maybone and her 20 or 30 colleagues have been back at their desks for about a month, and she has noticed alcohol is always in the center of social things here. My comment, so we're bringing back the 90s? Woohoo! Cool! Here's a story from Bloomberg. Interns are making over $16,000 a month as Wall Street talent wars heat up. Top global investment banks boosted intern compensation by 37.2% this year. As top firms shell out millions in the battle for Wall Street's best and brightest, even interns are seeing their compensation soar. Top global investment banks boosted intern pay by 37.2% for the current internship season from a year earlier, while other large banks are paying 36.9% more, according to finance career site Wall Street Oasis. My comment, time for me to apply to be an intern. If Robert De Niro can do it, then I can. Here's a story from the New York Times. The Wolf of Crypto. Jordan Belfort, the inspiration for the Wolf of Wall Street, is marketing himself as a cryptocurrency guru. Jordan Belfort was lounging by the pool on a sunny April morning, sipping Red Bull and sharing a cautionary tale, not the usual one about his imprisonment on 10 counts of securities fraud and money laundering. This time, he'd been the victim. Last fall, he'd explained to a group of businessmen gathered at his palatial home, a hacker had stolen $300,000 of digital tokens from his cryptocurrency wallet. My comment, the great thing about crypto hype is the last part. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story on Thursday was cryptocurrencies may all come crashing down. Michael Lewis, from Yahoo Finance. Lewis also acknowledged in the article that jerry-rigging of the stock market, he described in his book about high-frequency traders, isn't happening in cryptocurrencies. Second, there was good news for London bankers, and City of London firms are desperate to hire in tight job market, from Bloomberg. And third was the Elon Musk news of the day. Elon Musk makes $43 billion unsolicited bid to take Twitter private, from Bloomberg via Yahoo Finance. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first from the Financial Times. The headline: trades fail in U.S. corporate bonds as banks avoid Russia links. Value of unsettled transactions has doubled since invasion of Ukraine in February and imposition of sanctions. The number of failed trades in the U.S. corporate bond market shot higher following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, with investors linking the settlement problems to sanctions imposed after the war began. Nearly $70 billion of transactions failed in the week ending April 6, and for the past 6 weeks, failed trades have averaged just over $86 billion, according to data updated on Thursday by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline: Citadel Griffin rises as top GOP donor, urges business leaders to join him. Billionaire is among leading donors behind groups looking to boost prospects of Republicans winning control of Congress this year. Hedge fund billionaire Ken Griffin is raising his total investment in this year's midterm congressional elections to roughly $40 million and calling on American business leaders to become more involved in politics. Day to day, the Citadel founder is either the first or second biggest individual donor to outside spending groups on the Republican side for federal races this election cycle, according to rankings by the nonpartisan Open Secret Watchdog Group, making him a top force behind the GOP's drive to retake Congress in November. Here's a story from The Trade. Data is too expensive, and here's why. Amid a slew of regulatory reviews over current pricing models, and with a consolidated tape on the cards in both the U.S., in both the U.K. and the EU, Annabelle Smith explores how and why the cost of market data is increasing and what this means for both providers and participants on the buy and sell side. Institutions across the buy and sell side are expressing frustration with the soaring cost of data, and when nearly every participant is complaining about something, it might need to be looked at. Fixed income data spend for sell-side institutions has increased by half in the last 5 years, according to a recent report by AFME, with market data spend more generally rising by a quarter. Spend on data on exchanges has also risen by 42% since 2017. These costs are all felt keenly across the street. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcast. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day, have a great weekend, and a happy Easter weekend, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.